Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, everybody? It is Paul Zartman. It is Sunday night, and that means it's time for another episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. Now, this would normally be the point where, you know, Tanner would say, along with my co-host, yada, yada, and yada, 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 all that. But somehow, the guy with the MJF schedule is the only person to show up on this week's episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. So I'm going to do my best to get us through a recap of All Elite Wrestling for the week. And I'm going to do something that we haven't done yet on the Kicking Out Podcast. So the idea that I've kicked around for a while, and I think since it's just myself, I'm going to go ahead and do it because, you know, why not? Who's here to tell me I can't do what I want to do? So I am taking over the Kicking Out Podcast, and we are going to run this my way. Feel free to throw in your comments and, you know, just go right along with me. Already blanking on what I want to say. This is going to be a great time, guys. So let's dive into it, shall we, with some in the news. We've got some not so, I don't want to say newsworthy stuff, but I tried to find stuff for news and I couldn't find anything other than the fact that Kenny Omega has addressed some injury rumors. Reports, as always, are surfacing around Kenny Omega and battling very serious pain. We know he's dealt with several health issues, but he went to social media and says, everybody is in some way, right? Let's not worry about me. We got work to do next week. I'll be fine. And he's referencing the upcoming 8-man all-star tag on Dynamite. So that'll be a match I'm looking forward to. But unfortunately, I'm not as, you know, in as Tanner is. So that's all the news I have this week. Majin's here hanging out with us, or with me, I guess I should say. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday night, Majin. I know I am. Now it's time for a little segment that we call What Are We Drinking? Well, Shep's not here tonight, so I don't know what Shep is drinking, but I switched things up a little bit tonight just because I can, and I've got me some good old Pepsi. Gonna partake in a little CM Punking and drink me some Pepsi like Phil does. So, Dynamite this past week. It was from the 2300 Arena in Philly, the former home of ECW. I watched me a lot of ECW back in the day, and I am here to tell you AEW did not miss when they decided to do this. It looked amazing in the 2300 Arena. I absolutely loved the setup. I loved the crowd. The crowd was behind it all night. I'm always a big fan of a hot crowd, and the card was phenomenal. I love the old school way of breaking into the show, standing ringside with the commentators, and we were set for our first match. But before we got to our first match, FTR made their way down to the ring and demanded that Paul Turner reverse his decision and declare them the winners and the new AEW tag champions. That did not happen. Stokely shoved Paul Turner. There we go. Into the ropes. He came back. FTR gets in front of Stokely to protect him because they thought Turner was going to attack him. And right before they went to lay out Paul Turner, Cope's music hits. We get Cope coming down, looking like he's looking for Christian, and Cage appears behind, drops him, and it's an all-out brawl between FTR and CNC. I love the fact that they're calling these guys CNC because I'm sitting there going, all right, we had Edge and Christian. How do we do this? Are they Adam and Christian? Are they Cope and Cage? Are they Adam and Cage? What were they going to do with this? But calling them Cope and Christian, CNC, I'm absolutely all on board for. Majin, I love the shout out to Taz after the show too. I've heard rumors that they're going to do something big next week for Taz. Yes, the CNC Factory, of all names. But, you know, at least it's better than what they could have done. They could have called them all sorts of crazy things. They could have called them, you know, A and C, for crying out loud. All right, so just think about that. CNC Factory, CNC. All right, I'm on board for it. It's better than Cope and Christian just being Cope and Christian. As we work our way through the carnage that was Dynamite, we had Mark Briscoe challenge Kyle Fletcher as the Don Callis family feud kind of builds there. We had Mercedes Moné get her little celebration. 9 belts, Moné. Look, I picked Moné in my predictions for Forbidden Door. That does not mean I am a fan of Mercedes. Everybody thinks, oh, Paul picked Mercedes. He must finally be getting on the CEO train or whatever they're calling it. No, I am not a Moné fan. 9 belts, Moné. I understand what they're trying to do. You know, she wants to get that 10th title, shatter that record. Is Moné really the one to do that, though? I can think of a few other female wrestlers that I could see breaking a 10 belt record. I just don't see her doing it. And yes, Mercedes retaining was Tony's first mistake of the night. I cannot tell you, Majin, how much it pained me to pick her. I just had a feeling that Tony was going to put her over, and he did. So I may not have won the title. Clearly, Tanner won that and then runs away hiding because, you know, it's Tanner. But at least I'm here, and hopefully Moné won't be for much longer. I just realized my computer slid for those watching. Sorry, I had to adjust it. It was driving me nuts. I was ending up more and more on one side of the screen. Hey, Steffi, how you doing tonight? Stephen Chambers in the house as well and says, unless Windsor beating Mercedes for Dynamite. I've got a feeling we will see Windsor pick up the victory over Mercedes for the TBS championship. I'm okay with it. I wish it already would have happened, though, is my thing. I'm ready to get rid of this Moné stuff. But anyway, I've spent too much time talking about Mercedes Moné. Majin says they run the risk of making Mercedes too unbeatable to when she finally does lose it, no one will believe it. That is very, very true. Unless they drag the feud out for Mercedes versus Windsor for All Out, says Stephen Chambers. Stephen, I hope we're getting this at All Out. I mean, it'd be good. Majin says Mercedes has beaten and outsmarted everyone who's challenged her. Unfortunately, she has. I don't know if Shep is watching the race. He said he was going to go do something tonight, but I don't remember what it was. I just knew that it meant the guy with the MJF schedule actually showed up on KOP and gets to run solo. Shout out to Aaron Solo. No. Stephen Chambers says, happy birthday, Athena. Going to surpass 1,000 days. She is the forever champ. And I was going to get to Athena's birthday a little bit later on in the show, but Stephen beat me to it. So happy birthday, Athena. Hope you're enjoying your birthday as the forever champ. All right. Let's enough talk of Mercedes. Let's move on. We saw the Ops retain the AEW World Trios Championships. Of course, MVP did play a little bit of a role in there, so we'll give MVP a little shout out there for helping retain the gold, because if it weren't for him, I don't know if they would have retained the gold, but it is what it is. I think they would have one way or the other. Oh, Steven, don't worry. Don't worry. It's always nice to be able to talk about Athena and our forever champion. Steffi says she also owes Shep an apology. Larson did make it. Right name, wrong last name. There we go. All right. Steffi, I think Shep accepts your apology. Who's going to derail the Ops? That is a valid question. I mean, we're not seeing as many trios as we used to. It worries me where we're going, because every time we start to build a new trios that could dethrone the Ops, it seems like we go and disband them before they really get off their feet. Or we have a good team that could have, but one of the members wants to go play ball somewhere else, so he does. Not mentioning any names there. I'll just leave that at that. Majin says the Don Callis family will. I think the Don Callis family is the only faction right now that could dethrone the Ops, because there's really not a lot, unless, like Steven says, Ops versus ROH Trios champ Shane Taylor Promotions, and we see, I don't know if I want to see Shane Taylor Promotions win it, though. I think it's going to be the Don Callis family. We just have to figure out which members of the Don Callis family it's going to be. Or it's going to be MJF and whoever he decides to bring in, because we all have a feeling he's bringing somebody else in, right? Let's see. Moxley is attempting to recruit Daniel Garcia. I know I'm not going into proper order here like Tanner would, but I'm just bouncing around and having fun tonight. So Moxley attempting to recruit Daniel Garcia. We saw him pick up the victory on Dynamite, Moxley, that is. And then he was in Daniel's ear on Saturday at Collision. I don't know. And then we get the rematch that if Garcia loses, he'll join him or something along those lines. It is kind of like the same thing they did with Statlander a while back. but this is something they've done with Daniel Garcia a few different times, where we've seen Garcia just kind of follow different groups, and then he gets pushed out of those groups eventually. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see Garcia stand on his own. He's still young, but he's a good competitor. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And I think if we can get some backing for Garcia in singles action, some big wins, then we'll see what Garcia can actually do. Unfortunately, the way they've done this Death Rider stuff, I've got a feeling Garcia is going to pick up the slack of Pac, I guess would be the best way to say it, because Pac, I noticed, is still in the intros for Death Riders, but they don't have him right now because of injury and visa situations and all that other good stuff. So in the meantime, I think Garcia is going to be that fill-in for Pac and just kind of bring Death Riders back to what they were. Not that they were anything good, but that they were. Maybe. Speaking of the Death Riders, we saw Yuta out in the ring talking smack, and Hook returns and lays out Yuta. I am all for Hook being back. I know a lot of people probably don't want to see him thrown right into the Death Rider stuff, but the Death Riders are the ones who took him out. So Hook coming back to take out the Death Riders, I'm all for it. I just hope we don't immediately throw him back in with the Ops and he gets lost in the current trio that is the Ops. He was a good fit, but one thing that Tanner and I have both said time and time again is Hook needs to be on his own. He can do it. There's no reason he can't, apart from they just don't want to put him there. I mean, Taz was a phenomenal singles wrestler, so there's no reason we can't do the same thing with Hook. Just my opinion. We saw Hangman come out to the ring. He thanked Ospreay for everything Ospreay's done for him this year. Tells him, you know, get well soon. When you get back, take your time. I want to see you. What's that, Majin? Let's not go that far. How far are we going? Okay. Okay, look. He's no AJ Styles. There is no other AJ Styles, all right? There's only one phenomenal one, but Hook could be phenomenal. Maybe not the phenomenal one, but Hook could become phenomenal in the ring if they continue to work with him. Remember, he's still super young. But we get Hangman out in the ring. He's thanking Ospreay for everything he's done for him over the last year. Tells him, thank you for, you know, being there for me. Get well soon. Oh, okay. Majin sent Taz. All right, Majin, fine. Taz, I always liked Taz. I thought Taz was a fantastic wrestler. So that's just me. He's on my ECW Mount Rushmore. Okay. You can hate me for that all you want. I've just always been a big Taz fan. The cartoon and the wrestler, for any smart asses in the room. But anyway, Hangman. He tells Ospreay, heal up, take your time. When you return, I hope it's to challenge me for my title. At which point, Don Callis comes back out and says that Hangman originally took that title from him, and now it's Don's turn to take it from Hangman. At which point, you got Yeah. Three Don Callis members coming out there, taking him on. And then he ends up getting some backup from Jet Speed. And finally, Kenny, by God, Omega, makes his way down to the ring, evens the field. They lay everybody out, and Hangman and Omega reunite. And man, I am excited to see this happen. I said in the beginning, Hangman Omega was a very weird tag team, but I understand why they're a tag team back then. And I also said that they could always be that team that kind of came together and had each other's back, but weren't necessarily a 24/7 tag team. They were singles competitors who came together when needed. And that is what we saw Wednesday night on Dynamite. And that is what I want to continue seeing from these guys, because I think they can do it. And if it's done right, it'll be magical. Steven says he's got a feeling that it's going to be Hangman versus Takeshita for All Out. Okada costs Takeshita. Shaping up for Okada versus Takeshita, either Wrestle Dream or Full Gear. I would be on board for that. Majin says, hey, Paul, how about our new tag champs? Not like anyone could have called that, eh? Yeah, I still think it would have made more sense for FTR to pick up the victory. I know you don't like FTR, Majin, so hear me out. Hear me out. Okay. FTR picks up the victory. All Out. It's CNC FTR for the tag titles. I think it would have been phenomenal. And that is why I picked them up. Yes, Majin, you did call Brodito since the semis of the tournament. You were right. You were right. I'll give you that. Steffi says, how'd you like our arena? To not only Majin, but all of AEW. And Steffi, I love the 2300 arena. Always have. You're a big ECW fan, Steffi. I'm a big ECW fan. I remember watching it way back in the day. Loved it then. Love it now. Love the fact that Taz is going into the Hall of Fame for the 2300 arena. I've heard it's being done on Dynamite next week. I am amazed that they made it look as good as they did. It did kind of have a little bit of that ECW feel to it, the way it was set up, at least in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about it, Steffi. Did you get that ECW feel off of it? And I'm ignoring Majin thinking it's not an important arena because Majin was never an ECW fan. So we're going to move right on past that one, Majin. How dare you? All right. Let's see. Where else are we at here? I'm going to miss a bunch of stuff here because I'm bouncing around, and I know I shouldn't have, but you know what? I like that idea of bouncing around. We had the False Count Anywhere match with Darby Allin and Claudio. Oh, I'm looking at Steffi and Majin go back and forth in the comments. It's absolutely hilarious watching these two. Majin says, I only said that for reaction, and you didn't disappoint. Steffi says, 2300 was the new Alhambra. It was our home. It was. It was the home of ECW. for so long. It was a good home. But anyway, you cannot have a show in the 2300 arena without something extreme. And we got some extreme in this Falls Count Anywhere match. We saw Darby Allin take on Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio was on his way out to the ring when he got jumped by Darby Allin. We got to see a shopping cart and chairs and tables and Darby doing a coffin drop off of the post. And it was just a great match. There were a lot of things that I did like about Dynamite this week. There's one thing I really did not like about Dynamite, though, and I've already spent too much time on her, so we're just moving right along. I want to do something a little bit different, only because it tied into the whole week, and that was Death Before Dishonor. Not very often that we actually talk ROH on KOP, but there were some issues with some streaming stuff, so a lot of people didn't necessarily get to see everything. The 0 hour show, of course, was free for everybody on Honor Club and YouTube, and of course with the main card there were, wait for it, 9 matches. Again, I think Tony stuck with 9 matches. That's a good round number. The conglomeration defeated the Premier Athletes in a hard-hitting tag match. Shane Taylor Promotions captured the ROH World 6-Man Tag Team Championships by defeating the Sons of Texas. Queen Aminata advanced to the Women's Pure Championship Tournament by defeating Taya Valkyrie in a good match. Post-match, Deanna Peraza did confront her, however. Blake Christian and Lee Johnson beat the Kingdom. Lee Moriarty retained the ROH Pure Championship. We saw a brutal, it says brutal, I didn't say brutal, it says brutal, so don't come at me, fight without honor as QT Marshall defeated Paul Walter Hauser. Sammy Guevara and Roosh defeated the Outrunners and claimed the vacant ROH World Tag Team Championships. After the match, Guevara turned on his former allies, the Von Erichs, aligning himself with Roosh's faction, LFI. I am not going to attempt to pronounce it. It's LFI for me. In a near 35-minute ROH World Championship affair, Bandido emerged victorious. After missing his 21-plex finisher, Bandido adapted and secured the win with a bridging German suplex. And, of course, the birthday girl herself, Athena, retained the ROH Women's World Championship against Mina. Death Before Dishonor. All right, let's jump back into the comments here and catch up on some stuff I missed. Steffi says, issues. People were saying the stream was crashing. It was. That's why I said there were some issues. It was terrible. I saw a tweet from Tony at one point that apparently he was putting it free on their YouTube channel. Majin says, to quickly touch back on She Who Must Not Be Named, even they have Windsor beat her, I'm going to laugh and not care. Or even if they have Windsor beat her, I'm not going to laugh and not care. I'll be glad it's off her, but they haven't presented Windsor. No, they have not. Majin says, also says, well, enough that she could be a viable option. Windsor has looked stupid next to her, getting beaten up by her multiple times. She's barely got any comeuppance. Yeah, I know. But who else is there? All right, we're going to talk about her. She who must not be named. Majin, who would you pick to take the belt off of her? Anyone on the women's roster. All right. I don't care who it is. I just want somebody to do it. I have a few personal choices, but I don't think any of them are going to do it. Megan Bain, Statlander, Willow, Tekla could do it, but yeah, Majin says Statlander, but she's in the Tekla stuff. Willow, but in the Tekla stuff, yeah. All right, let me ask this question of everybody who's watching or listening. Feel free to drop your comments, post it on social media. I'm sure this is going to be one of those that Tanner snips and puts on social media, so you'll be able to comment along with this. And I know I'll get backlash from my co-hosts who are big Monet fans for whatever reason. But in my opinion, it seems the TBS title isn't as prestigious as it used to be because it's sitting around Mercedes' waist and she's got 8 other championships apart from this. This is supposed to be a mid-card title, and yet we haven't really seen it as a mid-card title. To me, it's lost interest because it's always being lost with all the other belts that she has. And I think they need to get it off of her, get it on somebody who doesn't have multiple belts that they're going to bring down to the ring every single time. They need to put it on somebody who is going to give the TBS title the star power it needs. Mercedes, sure, she has star power. Fine, I'll give her that. She's not good to watch in the ring, in my opinion. I know several people who agree with me on that. But it needs to be on somebody who's going to make the TBS title their sole focus. Not going out and breaking a record of having 10 titles. Not being a belt collector. But somebody who is there as your TBS champion, saying, this is the TBS championship. I'm the TBS champion. This is going to be worthy again. To me, the TBS title is nothing but a joke now. It's almost as bad as the 24/7 title. That big of a joke to me. Because it's become the least cared about title around Mercedes' waist. It's the only non-world title. The other 8 titles she has are all world titles. And then you have a mid-card. Well, it's a mid-card title. And it doesn't mean as much as these world titles do. So it's like Mercedes doesn't care about it as much. Majin says it's almost as big of a joke as the FTW title. You know what? At least we got some decent matches with the FTW title. So, but yeah, it's turned into a miserable title that I could care less if I see on TV or not. And that is because of Mercedes Moné. So, with that said, again, I want to know who your pick is to take the title off of her. I've seen Harley getting revenge for their first match. All good stuff so far that I've seen. Statlander, Willow, Harley, all women I would pick All right, let's talk about Collision for a little bit. Still coming to you from the 2300 Arena as AEW is doing their residency here. I want to talk a little bit about the glitch in Hologram's entrance and this new masked dark clone of Hologram. I'm interested in this. This, I think, could do a lot for Hologram. He was pushed as this really big star, but he got overlooked in his debut because of the Ricochet stuff. Ricochet had just become a free agent, so there was push and talk that maybe it was Ricochet who was Hologram, and so Hologram's entrance just kind of got overlooked. I think this dark clone stuff is going to be a nice, interesting little twist that maybe revamps Hologram a little bit. We saw Daniel Garcia take on Blake Christian. There we go. And he defeated him. Again, like we talked, Garcia challenged Moxley to a rematch on Dynamite. The Don Callis family continued their intimidation campaign, building towards their upcoming all-star tag match on Dynamite. This was after a tag match where we saw Kyle Fletcher and I just had it in my notes and then it ran away. Oh, I love when my notes go haywire on me. So let's see if I can find it again. I accidentally closed out of the window. Majin says the Death Riders ain't even intimidating. They are not intimidating. They were supposed to be, but didn't make it that way because they became a joke too quickly, in my opinion. And I think they could have avoided that had they done a few different things with them. Kyle Fletcher and Josh Alexander took on the conglomeration, Kyle and Ishii. There we go. I got it. We saw Timeless Toni Storm team with Mina and Queen Aminata versus Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Billy Starks. That was the main event. And we saw Timeless Toni Storm, Mina, and Queen Aminata pick up the victory. But then Tekla came down and the triangle destroyed everybody. I mean, that's all there was to it. They just laid everybody to waste. I am really enjoying this triangle, though, because I think Tekla is interesting to watch, and I've always liked Sky Blue and Julia Hart. I thought it was a shame that the House of Black fell apart the way it did, because I think we could have seen more out of Julia and the House of Black. And I think they were building something with Julia and Sky Blue. So the fact that they have continued this past that with those two is absolutely amazing, in my opinion. I'm looking something up real quick here. Give me a second, guys. Majin says, I am too. I just wish they told us why they were teaming. Oh, yeah. That was one of those throw together things, in my opinion. The Triangle of Madness. That's what I was trying to look up. But the Triangle of Madness, to me, it's almost like the Unholy Trinity or the Unholy Union, if we're comparing it to WWE, but it's darker with Sky Blue and Julia Hart, because we know what those two are capable of and the darkness that resonates within those two. Tekla, perfect addition to this, making it truly a triangle of madness. So overall this week, I think AEW delivered. I did this with Tanner, I think, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, the Unholy Alliance. Yes, the Unholy Alliance. They were, I got introduced to them more on WWE 2K25, where they referenced them as the Unholy Trinity, because in your My Rise situation, it was, Oh, with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Not with Mikey and Tajiri and Sinister Minsters. No, no. Yeah, oh, them. Steffi caught on now. At least somebody's followed along with me in the madness that I'm rambling on about. But, yeah, them. Them. Steffi says, my unholy was with those three. Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah, that was that. But anyway, overall this week, I'm giving AEW a solid, I'm going to say 7.6 this week. Overall, just because I think it was a good week of television. I know we don't do the ratings very often. So, has Isla Dawn signed to AEW? Never saw a post for her. Steffi thinks so. I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to have to go investigate that here when we get done. But I'm kind of moving along. I know I'm going to try to stretch it out to an hour long tonight, but I don't know if I can quite make it, because the final segment I wanted to do tonight, what happened in history this week in the world of professional wrestling? And by this week, I'm referencing August 24th to tonight, the 31st. So on August 24th in 2003, WWE held SummerSlam in Phoenix, Arizona. The SmackDown main event featured Kurt Angle defeating Brock Lesnar to retain the WWE Championship. Meanwhile, Triple H, battling a significant injury, won the World Heavyweight title in an elimination chamber by pinning Goldberg. Majin, no. Not yet. Thunderbolts is on my agenda, though. It's coming. Just not yet. In 1994, we saw the WCW Clash of the Champions. This supercard took place in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, featuring a top singles match, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. 2 years later, in 96, the experience of, at the time, WWF, was hosted in Toronto at Exhibition Stadium. This event celebrated the 10th anniversary of the big event and drew over 21,000 fans. 2016, the first ever episode of SmackDown aired, titled This Day in Wrestling History, where the Godwins defeated the New Rockers. Wait, 2016, really? Somebody fact check me on that, because I thought SmackDown was older than that. I don't know. August 29th, 1994, SummerSlam was the premier summer event that took place at Chicago's newly opened United Center. The main events included Bret Hart defeating Owen Hart in a steel cage match for the championship and The Undertaker defeating an imposter Undertaker. August 30th, 1993, SummerSlam was held in Auburn Hills, Michigan. The main card highlights included Lex Luger challenging Yokozuna for the championship, the Steiner brothers defending their tag titles, and Shawn Michaels versus Mr. Perfect for the IC championship. August 31st, 1983, Terry Funk retired for the first time. August 31st in 1987 in Memphis, Tennessee, Jerry Lawler defeated Don Bass in a steel cage match to capture the AWA Southern Heavyweight title. August 31st, 1998, WCW Nitro in Miami. The show furthered the buildup to War Games. Goldberg and Jericho scored victories. Eddie Guerrero took a fall against Bryan Adams, while in the main event, Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart faced Sting and Lex Luger, losing by countout due to internal conflict, and the Ultimate Warrior then appeared to attack the NWO. August 31st, 2019, AEW All Out at the Sears Center in Chicago. Chris Jericho defeated Hangman Adam Page to become the first ever AEW World Champion, making history as a wrestler to hold world titles in WWE, WCW, and AEW. And some notable birthdays. Jeff Hardy was born today in 1977. Mickie James was born today. Not going to reveal the year she was born. And of course, as we talked earlier, Athena celebrates a birthday today. So that is kind of a look at what happened this week in the world of professional wrestling throughout history. I'm going to go double check real quick the original air date for the first ever SmackDown, because I don't think 2016 was right. August 26th, 1999. There we go. Not 2006, 1999. The year was off. The date was right. But anyway, that is going to do it for the Kicking Out podcast. So be sure to like and subscribe and follow the Kicking Out podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast. And if that happens to be anywhere that has a rating, which is, I think, all of them now, leave us that 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP. Check out kickingoutshop.com along with prowrestlingtees.com. Search you up Kicking Out Podcast. Buy yourself some merchandise. Support a great podcast and look fantastic doing so. Be sure to follow the recently losing champion, Austin Shepherd, at the Shep27. Follow your MIA champion, Tanner Lee, at TannerLee92. And follow myself, the only man with the MJF schedule who shows up on KOP, at PaulZartman87. And with that, for my two co-hosts who are not here, Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join me again next week as I kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.